Hi, good morning and welcome. This is Seek Sustainable Japan. I'm JJ Walsh, your host here in Hiroshima, Japan, joined by today, Toru Muramatsu. Thank you so much for joining.
Hello. Thanks so much for having me here today.
It's great to have you. Now, of course, I have had the amazing Alex Kerr on the program many times talking about his beautiful Chiyori house that he set up in Ia Valley. And Toru, you are the CEO of the Chiyori Alliance, which manages, is it five properties around Japan?
Yeah, five properties. Yeah, those fives.
So we have properties in the Ia Valley, where Alex first started his own house. And then in Kagawa, where you are right now, right?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And then also in Kyoto, is that right? The three different locations?
Yeah, Kameoka in Kyoto Prefecture.
Now, I had the chance to visit Alex in Kameoka, so I was able to see one of the properties that's near his house. So that was really lovely to see it firsthand. And yeah, I also had the pleasure of staying in beautiful Chiyori myself, and what a really special place. Now, you mentioned Chiyori Alliance, KK, has started from 2015. You started your connection with Alex about 2008, you said?
Yeah, 2008.
Yeah.
Actually, I found him on TV show in 2007.
Oh, yeah?
That was pretty much the beginning of everything for me.
Very nice. Now, Toru, you were telling me a little bit about your background. You studied interior design for a little while in Boston in the U.S.
Oh, yeah.
And it kind of opened your mind to things. Tell us about that.
My name is Toru Muramatsu, and I was born and raised in Shizuoka Prefecture, pretty much a center of Shizuoka, Shizuoka City. After I graduated from high school, I moved to the U.S. and I started interior design at a really small college there. And then I graduated in 2005, and then came back to Japan. And then after that, I had a chance to study Japanese traditional wood furniture making in my hometown, Shizuoka. And then I spent 2.5 years doing that. And then when I was finishing the program, I found Alex Kerr on the TV show, and I just jumped into you know, his project in Tokushima, where I had no idea.
That's so nice. Now, you said when you were in the States, you kind of had a revelation, and I think a lot of people do when you go outside your country. You said, I had no interest in Japanese culture and design when I went. I was interested in other things. But when you went over there, you realized, oh, wow, I'm actually interested in Japanese culture and design. Kind of opened your mind to more of the value of your own culture and tradition, and come back and doing furniture, and then working with Chiyori. You guys, of course, are renovating and restoring, but also building new, beautiful, traditional Japanese houses as guest houses. Is that right? You were talking a little bit about your inspiration. Tell us what inspired you by Frank Lloyd Wright. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that.
Yeah. When I was in Japan, when I was young, you know, I have no idea about, you know, what my route is. And then, everyone felt that way, something new, something, you know, outside, really interesting for me. And then I don't know why I was so inspired by the U.S., I don't know, but in some Western cultures, totally different culture for me anyway. And then, I started feeling like, you know, going somewhere else to Japan. And then, Yeah, then when I was graduating from high school, my friends just got, going to university and finding, what they want to study in. But I got kind of lost. And then I wasn't actually doing well in high school. So I was just asking myself what I wanted to do, really. And then I look back my childhood, and then I've been loving in the drawing or making some things, and then kind of liking decorating my room or something. So maybe interior design or making some space and that kind of design stuff, maybe the one I can be passionate with. So I decided to go with interior design or something. And then plus, some adventure to the side of Japan. And then...
That's so nice. And I think that, especially when you're young, right? Exploring new horizons and then learning, like a lot of travelers talk about, when you travel to other countries, you learn a lot about yourself, which mm-hmm. is unexpected, right?
Right.
So now I'm showing the UNESCO World Heritage Protected Falling Water by Frank right. Lloyd Wright. Mm-hmm. What inspired you about this place?
Actually, this is actually the one I found on the library almost at the midnight. Someday I was working on some assignment. And I don't know. I was looking for some idea in the library, opening up some books. And then, the book was pretty much about this place, Falling Water, but from Lloyd Wright. And then I was just, amazed by this thing. So first, I didn't really know this is architecture or this is nature or something. Until that point, my image of architecture or building was just I don't say that that's box, but standing just by itself. But this is really blended into the nature and part of nature, and even enhancing the nature. So I'm really surprised, someone
isn't,
really
isn't made. That amazing, like when you visit one of these beautiful buildings and the location of Falling Water looks like it's right in a beautiful forest.
Yeah.
And then is it art? Is it nature? Is it an extension of mm-hmm. nature? Like, how can we create more places like this, right?
Right.
And I think Chiodi, you are doing so much of that. Like a lot of the guest houses you have are in such beautiful locations, especially in the Ia Valley, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can see a lot of parallels to that initial inspiration and then what you're doing, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Now I can kind of connect those kind of dots and making everything, sense.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. Well, let's talk first about the building that you're in right now. So you're in Chiodi Utazu. So... Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about this building. Is it an old house that's been renovated?
Yeah, that's actually Utazu Branch is our kind of office building plus guest house space. And then that is different than the building I am in right now. It's back there. And I'll talk about this building later anyway. So Chiodi Utazu Branch is, that's old townhouse anyway, and having our office space. And as I said, guest house area upstairs. And
I love this house. Ngawa.
Right, right.
This traditional Ngawa is like an outside mm-hmm. hallway mm-hmm. For people who don't know Japanese houses. And all this old wood and old glass as well. a lot of the glass, you can tell the old style. It's like hand-blown glass. It's wonderful to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all those are the Bible Showa period thing. And people feel like, you know, oh, this is like my grandmom's house or something.
It's lovely. Yeah. And then the front design that we're showing now, the front of the office space or community space, the walls, are they made of plaster? Is that earthen plaster?
Yeah, original plaster. Yeah, I think.
Beautifully done. And then the upstairs has a tatami room. Is that for people to stay in?
Right. We haven't really touched so much for the renovation. We just cleaned the ceilings and just like that. And then this house is a little bit different than, you know, this house is really, this produced by Alex. The office building is just, you know, too small. And then, to be honest, we don't really have budget so much. So what we've done was just, you know, a really small scale. But the owner
that all of Alex's design places and places in the Chiodi Alliance, he always has beautiful antiques, which he decorates the place with. He is very talented as a calligrapher. So his calligraphy often features in these places as well. When I visited one of the locations with him and he was trying to present, of course, in Japanese style, everything is presented so beautifully. And he was trying to make sure it was presented in the right way so you could appreciate it all.
Right.
I think these things are really important, right? Like, it's hard to have a balance between an artistic place and a guest house, right? There must be a challenge there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the most important or significant point I learned from Alex. Yeah, putting some interior decorations or antiques and some ornaments are making the space totally different.
Having these exposed beams instead of adding false ceilings inside,
right.
And adding that space, but also that beauty, which is so impactful when you see it in these old houses, those amazing beams, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are the characters of, you know, Minka, I think, compared to like in a shrine or like, you know, really gorgeous, sophisticated buildings.
Yeah.
Minka's characters are those kind of, you know, handmade and sometimes, you know, primitive feeling, especially in Noka, Jutaku, in rural area, especially in the houses in Ier or, some countryside houses has the feeling of primitive, which Alex loves.
Mm-hmm. And then the places in Kamioka, I showed a few photos already. They also have a shared private garden view. So it looks like this has been created for the guests to enjoy the garden view, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, garden view. Yeah.
Is it a challenge to, of course, recreate or enhance these garden spaces?
Yeah, I think so. Then especially for our Kamioka ones are most of the projects are like in a public project, and then in Ier and in Ibutazu and in Kamioka, those properties are technically owned by local government. And then we're working with them, and then they're renovating those houses as their public construction project. Then in the case of Kamioka, they are really enthusiastic about, you know, making garden. And then so they are really strong concept or strong idea into the garden. So Kamioka's garden is really gorgeous anyway.
Really pretty. And I think what a great tribute and appeal to this area to get visitors to come in. And this is something fun when I talk to Alex, right? And he talks about when we design these traditional guest houses, we're thinking this is going to appeal to international visitors. But then in actuality, you also get a lot of Japanese visitors who want to stay in these houses.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely. Yeah. That's what Alex, you know, Alex is always saying. Yeah.
Do you see that as well as you're managing the bookings? Are you, how much like international versus Japanese visitors do you have staying at the places?
Yeah, especially after COVID-19, like inbound tourists are more than Japanese tourists are staying at our place. And then yeah, I do feel, you know, Japanese people are looking for, you know, real traditional, you know, things for their trip.
Yeah,
because I think in usual life, especially in a city apartment or something, there's no chance to experience or to feel, you know, this is Japan and then we are Japanese and we don't really have tatami room in apartment anymore, just, you know, some apartment, but functionally we don't really need those tatami room anymore in our modern life. So those kids and even my generation are not familiar with the life in tatami room or with tokonoma, or like, you know, that kind of style. So those people, when those people are coming to here, I think they are feeling kind of the same way as foreigners do. So
that's really interesting, isn't it? So like when we see these beautiful traditional features like Engawa.
Right.
I love that community space. We'll talk about that next. But tokonoma, so you're talking about the area where you would have this little flower arrangement, ikebana, with a hanging scroll. Mm-hmm. And then Alex often talks about the area on the left of the picture here, that uneven shelf area.
Mm-hmm.
And the little storage areas, but it's also beautiful and spacious as a traditional room. But like you said, even for a lot of modern Japanese people, it's unusual to sleep on tatami or have this kind of room anymore.
Yeah,
that's so interesting.
Yeah, thank you for mentioning Engawa space. That is really like, I don't know how to describe, but every time people coming to that space, they love that space for almost nothing, but that kind of space between the real room and then the outside, that kind of a neutral space, give people some special feeling.
And it's part of the magic of a Japanese house, isn't it? Because if you close the doors, like in this picture, it provides a lot of privacy from the outside to the inside of the room. Yeah. And you can have, between the rooms, you can have these hallways. So it's very practical because if you have multiple rooms, you don't have to walk through the room. You have this outside the room hallway. But when you open all the rooms, all the sliding doors, then you can access the outside view, you know, mm-hmm. like you can choose that way. And yeah. I love that about traditional Japanese houses. It's a beautiful, yeah. simple design.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen a lot of old houses where people just use the engawa for storage. I was like, oh no, what a yeah. waste, you know. But then it's hard to have enough right. storage inside the rooms.
Right.
And then some people have taken the engawa and made it into like sitting areas. So you have chairs there and you're looking at the outside. Mm-hmm. So I've seen various renditions, like various ways to change mm-hmm. the use of engawa. But mm-hmm. I think keeping it the traditional use as a hallway and that buffer between outside
right,
and inside
right, right.
is also so lovely, right?
Yeah. So that, yeah, you said the buffer, that area is really, really important, I think. If there is no buffer area, people don't feel like to open the window. But like in there's a buffer area, people feel like can open the door, like it's a sliding door with the tatami room, and then open the exterior window. But there's a buffer area. They can still have the privacy, but they can still see beautiful outside scenery. And then we can still feel kind of connection to outside. So I think that the meaning of the buffer area, of angle yeah. maybe. And then you actually mentioned the concept of storage. And then this is actually a funny story, but I've seen a lot of the cases like people are using tokonoma as storage. Haven't you seen anything like that? They're putting TV and kind of like, you know, fans.
Absolutely. I've seen that a lot. So this beautiful area on the left with the uneven shelf, it looks perfect here as the guest house. You've got just some ornamental things. But absolutely, I've seen people make this into like the TV stand, put the TV yeah. there. And, you know, you got to make it work for what works for your family. But for sure, when you're doing a guest house, it looks so beautiful
yeah.
when you just keep it empty and just put some ornaments and things there. Mm-hmm. Just make it simple and
yeah.
And spacious and empty, mm-hmm. that use of space, right?
Yeah. One of the old guy around here, and he's really loving, you know, flower arrangement and tea ceremony stuff. And he's really having the sense of culture. And then when he was trying to explain, you know, what that space is to foreigners, I mean, like, not only foreigners, but young kids around here. And how he was describing the space was a small museum. So, okay, so kids, you can't put your bags here, and you can't, you know, make mess in here. But you know, put a beautiful flower. Doesn't have to be so expensive. But try to put some flower and try to keep this space clean.
I love that idea. Yeah. think of it like a little museum. I love mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
Now, on one of the websites for Komachi, where you are right now in Kagawa, mm-hmm. it has you making some tea and ohagi, which is beautiful Japanese azuki bean paste with yeah, pounded rice mochi. And that's from a local seller. And this is a wonderful way to include the community, have tea together with visitors, just creating this common space. So what mm-hmm. a nice idea. As a part of your office, but also yeah. it could be a chance to meet locals, right? Nice
yeah.
idea.
Yeah, that's our concept. And then, the small office building has office space and guest house space and upstairs, and then the small living space the first floor, we are trying to make the community function like that, especially in the case of some in the local event, Matsuri season or something. Yeah, our main business is to offer accommodation and running guest houses. But yeah, this is actually the thing Alex has been saying, and the idea he shared with you before. But our kind of like, as I say, strength or kind of his magic is to make community, and having the conversation with travelers, guests, and, you know, local people. And we have that kind of power to you know, to gather people here, and not only here, but Chiori or anywhere.
Yeah,
and then local people are kind of looking for those kind of chances. Not only local people, but local people and travelers are looking for the chances to communicate with local people, I think. Mm-hmm. So I really want to kind of offer and create that kind of situation. And we do want to enjoy that kind of communication with many people coming to our place. And so we are trying to have, the small space.
I love that idea. In most neighborhoods in Japan, you have the like kominka or somewhere where the neighborhood people can meet together, right? Like mm-hmm. a public space. But I think in a lot of these older neighborhoods, maybe you don't really have like one building that functions like that anymore. So it's nice when you're coming into a new neighborhood to develop a space like that, where people could meet, local people can use it, but also visitors and locals can meet there. And then it connects nicely to that idea that Alex has also said about the developing the guest houses in rural communities, is you're creating a reason for Japanese people or residents of Japan to move to that area, work there, right? And to maybe have a business that connects to the guest house as well, like providing food or cleaning or guiding, right? And so you're helping to develop the community. You're not just selling, you know, like guest house services. It's more than that, right?
Yeah, that's the whole concept of our business or project, an activity. Yeah.
That's wonderful. In that same article I was looking at, it talks about a local woman, Tamai-san, who provides guided services around there. Do you connect with her to get her to show the guests around sometimes?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, but and she's working in Utazu with me. Yeah, she's a manager in Utazu, and then. Even before joining us, she's been doing, you know, local tour guide, and she has been doing some research by herself. Asking, you know, old people about history of this area and something. So yeah, even time, she's offering local tour guide.
Yeah, I think having someone who can bridge the old stories to the modern life. I do a lot of guiding and guide training myself. So having that local resource of a good guide who can help bridge with visitors, Japanese or foreign, to connecting them to the history and the culture and the modern life of the local area, that's such a great asset. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful that she's there.
Yeah. And then, she's trying to get the real fact of the history anyway, but her main focus is on like in connecting people to between local people and visitors. And she's really fascinated by the characters of local people, local older people, and then their kind of in live talks are the remarkable entertainment.
Yeah,
so that's our concept.
I'm showing the web page now where she's giving a tour. Mm-hmm. Ms. Tamai's guided tour. Walk with her. You can clearly envision both the life and the history of this town. I love that idea. Mm-hmm. We need more guides in Japan. A lot of visitors I meet say that they love seeing so many interesting things when they travel in Japan, but they're missing so much of the deeper meaning or the relevance mm-hmm. of things because they can't understand just by walking around or just mm-hmm. by Googling. Mm-hmm. The information is not there, right? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. that's a real great asset.
Yeah.
Have you learned some of the local stories as you've been there as well?
Yeah, little by little.
That's so nice.
Yeah, but I'm really enjoying, you know, dealing with local people. Then I'm actually from, you know, Shizuoka, and then not big city, but like in rural area. So I have like in the local connection, and so yeah, I'm kind of it reminds me my childhood.
Yeah,
and then I like those kind of older people's talk. Yeah,
that's wonderful. just a shout out, we've got two people watching live with us, Natasha and Ethan on YouTube. Great to have you guys here.
Oh, thank you for watching.
Yeah. And then let's talk a little bit about the room that you're in there, Toru. Mm-hmm. So I was commenting before we went live, I love the bamboo behind you. Mm-hmm. And those beautiful big windows. And this is something I talked with Alex before about renovating Chiyori. If you go to Chiyori, all of the big, beautiful windows so you can see the outside view. Yeah. And of course, renovating to make the old house less dark mm-hmm. is always a big right. challenge, right?
Right, right, right.
So adding those big windows is a real redesign of a mm-hmm. traditional house, because a lot of Japanese traditional houses are a bit dark and they have that kind of gloomy image, right? Right? So you got to lighten it up. Mm-hmm. So it looks like you've got new windows and a little garden behind you, right?
Yeah, those are all totally new windows and pear glass.
Pear glass, so right. more insulated.
Right.
So it's cooler in summer and warmer mm-hmm. in winter, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So Alex keeps saying two major weaknesses of Japanese traditional houses were like, you know, darkness, coldness, and what is? I forgot that.
I think the image that people say for Minka, the old houses, dark, dirty, cold.
Cold in the winter.
Cold in winter. But most Japanese houses are really good, even the old ones, really good in summer, because it basically lets the air flow, right?
Yeah, that's a traditional system of airflow.
And then the darkness actually works well in summer because it keeps it cooler inside. But mm-hmm. it's kind of depressing, right? Being inside
a
dark house.
Right.
So having the windows, but having insulated windows so you can keep the cool, keep the heat, that mm-hmm. definitely helps.
Mm-hmm. And maybe the last one is kind of small, not like, you know, spacious.
Yeah.
That may be like cozy in good way, but like, you know, little bit kind of tidy feeling. So Alex usually takes out all sliding doors inside not all of them, but as much as possible. So you can see the nail there. But also there used to be a sliding door dividing this, you know, open space.
So I'm showing the Chiodi Alliance website, so you can see beautiful Chiodi there. And some of the other properties. So Chiodi has a few properties in the Ia Valley, where Alex's original house is, but the other properties there in the same valley as well, right?
Right.
One. So you see those big windows there, and then Alex talked about those lanterns, the floor lanterns. He's so good at designing, but also he's great at salvaging a lot of antiques. Whenever he sees an old house in Kyoto being knocked down, he always tells them to stop, wait, I'm going to take what I can, you know? So I'm glad he's done that. Yeah. We need more people to do that, right?
Yeah, I always feel like, you know, when he's trying to grab everything from, you know, the house, tearing it down, and then, oh, wait a minute, where are you going to put all of them?
Yeah, well, that's why you need maybe one of the houses just for storage, just for an antique museum for a little while.
But I know those, you know, antiques makes huge difference. Yeah.
I think so.
Without those antiques, you know, even if we or Alex can make perfect renovation, without those antiques, the space and the house won't be like alive.
That's so true. Yeah, because sometimes when you go into some of the renovated old houses that has been turned into Airbnb, for example, you go in and they have done what they think the visitor or the guest wants. They've made it all generic. And everything is like clean, but there's no character there. There's nothing original. Everything has been redone inside modern, and you feel a little bit like I don't really feel warm, the warmness of living, of staying here, right?
Mentally.
Yeah, mentally, emotionally, I think it connects to. So when I walked into Chiodi, for example, or the places in Kamioka that you manage, you immediately feel, because of the antiques, because of the calligraphy, but also because of the exposed beams, because of the natural furnishings, you feel more comfortable immediately, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so actually, I'm actually going back to my college, you know, college days. But at that time, I didn't have any concrete idea about, you know, the meaning of interior so much, even though I was really interested in, you know, interior. But now, you know, after working with Alex and seeing those antiques and making real space for guests, and then see lots of differences between, you know, Alex spaces and others, I do feel the meaning or the importance of interior materials, and those are really making huge differences and you know, meaning a lot. So now, yeah, I've already graduated from university, and I can't go back. I can't go back there. But I'm kind of now remembering, you know, what I was studying, or I try to kind of study again about those things.
I love that, Toru. I'm also always curious and always wanting to study things. I think we should be curious. We should be lifelong learners. It's never too late to go back to school. Even if you research on your own, right?
Yeah.
We had some great comments. Natasha says, sounds like my basement apartment. So I think we were talking about the dark and the small and the cold, right? So that's funny. a lot of people can identify with that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's gorgeous, the showing the pictures of the renovated places. Thanks so much for your comments, Natasha. Great to have you here.
Thank you.
So let's show a little bit of the other guest houses. So we have these in Togenkyo in Iya. Can you tell us about these?
This is the main project we are doing in Iya Valley. Besides Alex Chiori house, we have 8 houses in this village, and this village is called Jūdenke, Jūyō Dentōteki Kenzōbutsugun Hozon Chiku. So long. Anyway, but designated as area to preserve historical, traditional things in here by the national government. And then the local government, the Miyoshi City, was trying to do something with this village to revitalize local economy, plus to influence the new type of tourism in this area, besides existing tourism industry in this area with onsen, hotels, something. So the main character of this property is all houses are with the thatch roof, because thatch roof houses are the characters of this village. And we try to keep all of them with thatch roof. And we have 8 houses there. And for interior, most of them has irori.
Mm-hmm. So the inside fireplace,
mm-hmm. Which is a traditional element of those that do houses. And nowadays, we can't really make fire and smoke inside, but traditionally, they always kept fire and smoke inside, and then that smoke protect the roofs from bangs and then some other bad stuff.
Would it keep the thatch roof dry easier and last longer because of the inside fire? Is that why?
Yeah, I think inside fire and smoke can a little bit help to keep the roof dry. But the main purpose is to kind of keep the roof fresh or getting rid of bugs, I think.
Yeah, Alex had some great stories from when he bought this old house the first time. And Chiori, how it was like from the 1700s, like it was a really old house, right?
Yeah.
And then he didn't have much money. He was a student. So he was trying to reuse some of the thatch, but it was so covered in soot. Right, mm-hmm. From all the fires over the years,
right.
And so he talks about just being so dirty and everything covered in soot and the challenges of trying to renovate on such a budget by himself, right? Mm-hmm. So he's learned so much over so many years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about you? By working with these old houses, have you learned a lot about the houses themselves?
Yeah, I'm learning a lot, and then we are really facing the difficulty of maintaining those houses. Actually, one of those houses is now having the big issue with bang. like I said. So this year, that house will be kind of researched. So I hope it's going to be okay by the end of this, next March or something.
Is it difficult now to find artisans to work on the old houses, like people who know how to repair old houses like thatch or the irori? Is it more difficult now to find the artisans?
What is artisans?
The work people who are familiar and trained to know how to use and to repair. Is it more difficult to find them now?
Yeah, I think so. But last year, I met Professor Dutcher, and he said that the population of Dutcher is not getting down so much, but maybe like, you know, going up a little bit.
That's great news.
Over Japan, actually. So in local area, those people are disappearing anyway, compared to old days. In old days, there are those Dutchers and people can help Dutching are in local area, and they are doing researching by themselves.
That's but amazing.
Nowadays, what's happening is for those commercial usages, that houses are not really disappearing so much, but for those commercial usage, that houses are being preserved. So over Japan, the dachas are still existing. So we are getting those dachas from outside or having them to teach local people to get the skill from them. And then that is the concept of our project.
That's great.
That the concept of concept that local government has. So they are not just trying to get dacha from outside, but getting the advice or getting help from outside and kind of giving the training for local carpenters to get.
So to preserve and to develop the knowledge so that it exists in the future, right? And that's a wonderful, sustainably focused, long-term view of we want to bring this culture back. We want to keep the artisans going and keep it alive so that we can keep these houses going. But it's not just about the houses. It's about the culture and the deeper traditions, right?
Right. Not only hardwares, but like the softwares to keep those hardwares.
Absolutely. I love hearing about how people are redoing the thatch, and it's so beautiful. Like in the pictures I just showed, that beautiful contrast between the straw thatch house roof and the green forest behind. Mm-hmm. It's such a beautiful view.
Yeah.
I'm sure people are really impacted when they visit these places in Ia Valley, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then your comment makes me think about, you know, the feeling I got from Frank Lloyd Wright. Yeah, those houses are really matching to the environment. And those are part of the environment and village.
Yeah.
So
much closer to nature, right?
Right.
It comes from the local area, and you can reuse it. How long do the thatch roofs last? Is it about 50 years if you take care of it?
Yeah, I think so. 50 years at the longest, maybe. But depending on the location, some of them can just last 20 years or even less. And then they don't really have to research everything, but but in the shadow.
So you don't have to do the whole roof when you rethatch. You can do parts of it if it needs repair. Is that right?
Yeah. That's the way old people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Not just always rethatch everything, replace everything, but some parts are getting damaged.
Yeah. When I went to rural Kyoto to see a French design team that had redone the thatch of their roof, she was saying, it's so wonderful to live inside a thatch roof house because the thatch roof collects all of the humidity. Mm-hmm. So it makes it really comfortable to live in summer or winter. Mm-hmm. And I was really surprised by that. So it's so nice when you hear from people actually enjoying not only the beauty of it, but actually the practicality of living in a thatch roof house. You don't think of that as a practical roof. What? Made of straw? Right? yeah. But it can have some wonderful features as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do feel in summer when I walk into that roof house, yeah, it's cooler inside. And then in winter, it's, I don't know, the time there was no air conditioning or heater and the PR glass. And so it was really cold. Anyway, Alex was saying same thing, right, in winter. Mm-hmm. Little bit colder,
but yeah, Alex also says that you have to bring the traditional aesthetic into modern relevance, right? Like one of the key points of your guest house is have to have a comfortable modern toilet,
right?
You have to have heating, you have to have cooling. You can't make it uncomfortable for guests to stay, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really important point, I think,
right.
And also, I have stayed in some traditional houses which were renovated into guest houses. But, for example, they had us in different rooms in the same house. And so it was so noisy. But your place is just one house, one group. So if you're making noise, that's your own group, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're not going to disturb other guests. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good way to do it instead of renting out per room.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make sense, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really difficult to divide, rooms with,
dividing the stay by the room is too hard, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And then getting out and then reducing the noise.
The noise is hard in an old house, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the one place I stayed was in Onomichi, and it's a beautiful renovated house. But even people were not talking loud in the next room, but between the paper doors, it's like, I can't sleep, So it's so nice that all of the houses that you're renting out, it is one house per booking.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's a really smart way to do it.
Yeah. And then I was really fascinated by Alex's concept. He loves all the stuff, but for guests or for us, modern people, we need like modern function, modern comfort. That's the base anyway. So without the base and unless we have like kind of feeling of safety, we can't appreciate the old old things at all.
Before we started, Toto, you were talking about most of your job is like a manager of taking care of guest relations, for example. And you mentioned before the idea of omotenashi. What is it? You say breaking the curse of omotenashi. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I'm actually a sarcastic person. So this is half sarcasm anyway. But to me, yeah, of course, omotenashi is really good idea and concept, and we Japanese people should be proud of that. And then our people all about the world can appreciate that concept for sure. But the idea of omotenashi, I think personally, that creates the relationship, you know, host and guest, something like that. A person giving something and a person receiving something. That's fine. That's beautiful. But I want to offer something beyond that. I want to give some idea or some opportunity beyond that, because I really experiencing those people coming to us are really looking for the, you know, equal communication, and they are trying to get into us if possible. And then I personally want to kind of embrace those people to our community, or to, you know, local society, or I just want to be a friend with them, just so that's the idea. And then so that's that.
Yeah, no, I like that idea that it's not just business hospitality. It's not just providing a service in a cold way.
Right.
It's much more engaging and friendly in a warm connection way. And I love that idea. So omotenashi means empty hand, right? Like, how do you provide the service in traditional Japanese way? But sometimes it has a kind of a bad nuance, because some hotels, maybe they say, well, this is our way to do it. We know the best way. And maybe it's not flexible for people who want a little bit different way, or vegan, vegetarian, or, you know, someone with a wheelchair, you know. So having the flexibility for traditional hospitality in Japan is something still quite challenging, right?
Yeah, I think so. And then I think flexibility is not to do something perfect for someone. You know, we don't really have to be perfect, and we don't have to give whatever things guests want to do. But just, you know, talk and listen to them, and then just try to find something we can do. And then, so sometimes it's just difficult. we can't do anything for that. But that's fine. But
then having that clear communication with the guests. So and if it's possible, you can do it. And then that just makes people happy that you're at least thinking about or trying to help, right? I think that's all you need to do, to listen and be clear in the communication. That's a really good point.
Yeah, I think so. So that's kind of simple and not so complicated. And as long as we can listen to them. And then after all, the answer is just, you know, no, sorry, we have nothing to do. But that's, you know, fine for them. Because
I think most international guests, they're just happy if you can try. And if it's possible and it works out, that's great. If it doesn't work out, no problem, you know. Most guests seem to have that attitude anyway, right?
And then maybe, like, you know, trying to get what they really want behind their question. So that's important, I think. And then if we can get that idea, we can kind of suggest something else. And then they can be happy with that. Oh, we can do this, but maybe this isn't okay for you, something like that.
That's great. hospitality in my book. This is a little difficult, but how about we do this, right? Mm-hmm. You're kind of negotiating hospitality. Yeah. And I think most guests would love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then guests may say like, oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, I think so. Well, thank you so much, Toru, for joining. That is our hour. I love talking about your projects with Chiori Alliance. I hope I can visit more of them. They're always inspiring to me, how you're taking the old traditional house concept and providing such beautiful places for people to stay with your modern concept of hospitality, of course, also connecting more flexibly, more friendly with visitors, but also bringing in local community, bringing back people to the rural areas to work at the guest houses as well. There's so many wonderful concepts you're working on. So thank you so much for all that you do.
Oh, thank you so much for everything today. And thank you so much for being patient with my bad English.
No, your English is fantastic.
But this is actually for the last, this is kind of my challenge to dive into the communication with, international people. And then I kind of want to show this process. And then I don't know, but... this may encourage those people who are interested in communicating with English and
with
people about the world. So
yes, yeah, we need more people like you in Japan, Toru. Thank you so much. That's a great attitude. You're inspiring so many people, I'm sure.
I hope so.
Thanks, everyone, for joining. See you again next time. Take care.